Hello and welcome to the Veeam Community Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Vanover. This is episode 35, VMworld and Other Stuff. Joining me today is Ricky Alkasem. How you doing, Ricky?
I'm doing fine, Rick. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Hey, Ricky, why don't you take a moment and give everyone an introduction about you and what you do and your social media stuff.
Hello, world. Well, I'm Ricky Alkasem. I'm the director of Global Education Services for Veeam Software. My purpose in life is to educate the world about Veeam. Later in this podcast, we'll talk about what we've done in the past, the present, and what we're planning to do in the future in terms of education. I like to think I'm well known within the community as well. My Twitter account is at Ricky Alkasem. Most of the VMware community know who I am. I also webmaster my own blog, which is www.virtualizeplanet.com. Virtualize spelt the American way, not the English way. And I've been running that blog since 2005.
The American way. Thank you for that clarification. Thank you.
So, I've been with Veeam for about 3 years now. I started with Veeam. I was one of the first people in Western Europe. I started as a systems engineer. My previous background prior to joining Veeam, I worked as a certified VMware instructor for quite some years. Previous to that, I was a consultant for many, many years. I've been in the industry for about 19 years. I've got a ton of certification. I'm more than familiar with education processes in this industry. I like to say I'm a jack of all trades, master of none.
Sounds familiar. Many of us in the virtualization community start out that way, right? We get started on one thing, get pulled into a number of other things, be it, you know, virtualization really is just the center technology, but, you know, other things like application stuff, OS stuff, hardware stuff, you name it, we have a hand in it. That's cool. Thanks for the introduction, Ricky. So, yeah, you know, you're a blogger and you're engaged in social media on Twitter. Did you have any, you know, I know you were not at VMworld in Las Vegas, but did you have any, you know, impressions from some of the tweets and blogs that you may have observed from the event? Any kind of takeaways from that?
I think you know, I'm really holding back for Copenhagen because that's my event really at the end of the day. You know, for me personally, I was well, you know this, Rick. I've been waiting for vSphere 5 to be released because it offers certain enhancements that allows me to do some testing with other hypervisors, let's say. That we were not capable of doing before.
Well, that was, yeah, definitely. Let's just say it. We're going to run Hyper-V on vSphere. We could set up Hyper-V clusters. I'm ready for it.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what I want to do. You know, from an educational standpoint, of course, the strategy for Veeam is to develop education that's going to both you know, accommodate VMware and Hyper-V in the same plan. So, it's definitely interesting for me to understand if we can actually nest, you know, virtualize Hyper-V itself and then run nested virtual machines underneath that virtualized Hyper-V box. You know, especially when you're trying to do everything in the same box, in the same server, in the same lab, trying to keep it as portable as possible.
Yeah, so, yeah, we don't want to have to invest tons of money into this and that kit that can... For a lab, it's just really not worth the investment.
So, you know, and if you've followed my tweets and you've followed my blog, you know, one of the things that I've been doing is trying to work the best way to create, you know, the most powerful, efficient, portable lab that I possibly can. Of course, what Veeam's been doing for the last 3 years is either using VMware View and accessing our data centers, which are based in Columbus or St. Petersburg, and delivering demos and you know, visibility of application, our applications that way. Or the alternative is to run or attempt to run our software on VMware Workstation on our very high, you know, very powerful laptops that we all have. I think moving forward, though, that's going to be a bit of a problem for us, because now we're going to introduce other hypervisors into the mix, and I'm not sure that a laptop is going to, you know, cut it in terms of performance when we're trying to virtualize ESX, Hyper-V, System Center Operations Manager, Virtual Center, a domain controller, you know, Veeam software. So for me, I'm looking for alternative solutions to that right now. One of the biggest things for me that I'm going to use this kind of lab for in the up-and-coming future is we've got some vMUG events where labs are becoming more popular. Hands-on labs are becoming more popular at vMUG events. And we'll be delivering the first of these labs on this new kit that I've got at the Dutch VMware User Group in December.
So get out. You've got a Veeam mobile lab for training resources that'll be part of the lab event at the Dutch VMUG?
Yeah, of course. I mean, we did something similar last year, but what happened was we loaned the kit from Dell, and that actually, no disrespect to Dell, but that was a bit of a nightmare because we ended up, loaning this huge, massive server, which was very noisy, very powerful, actually quite a few people at that event complained only about one thing, and it was the noise of the server. So I'm trying to get around using server technology to present our labs and using some form of portable cube white box PC, which isn't very noisy and doesn't create a lot of heat, is probably the best solution for me.
Well, you've got a unique challenge, and that is that you have to deliver resources to all of our internal technical staff so that they can go about their methods of demos and stuff involved on customer sites. And for me, it's a little bit different because I use my lab in Columbus, okay? And in most situations where I go to present, and the same thing with my boss, Doug Hazelman, we can generally plan on getting into the lab. You know, the field SEs, they don't always have that luxury, you know, or if you're on a plane and you want to learn in an environment, that's not always an option. But I think it's great that you're working to come up with some lab solutions, and I definitely think it's going to be more complicated with Hyper-V. I know in my own personal home lab, I just ordered another server. I know I can stack it all virtually, but I've decided that I want a dedicated piece of equipment that I could do everything on. And, you know, kind of, I'm also at a point where my core infrastructure at home is big enough that I want to keep it stationary. I don't want to have to move it around. It wouldn't have to move in terms of storage, but in terms of host residency, I want to keep it pretty static just because I do funny stuff at home, I guess. We'll just leave it at that. What about, you're also in the training space. Are you working on any new projects for anything that might be of interest to anybody right now?
So, okay, Rick, let's go back to talking about the past, the present, and the future of education services within Veeam. And I think most people that follow Veeam socially will be more than aware that, at the beginning of Q2 this year, we released a training program for our partner community. And I really modeled that training on something which will be familiar to most people, which is VMware's VTSP and VSP program. I spent many years with Citrix and VMware and going through their education programs. And for me, when I was thinking about how we're going to train our partners, I decided not to reinvent the wheel. VMware had a proven track with its education program. So, I felt there was no harm in actually mirroring and copying what VMware did. And VMware will put their hands up and say, well, actually, we copied Citrix when we first started, doing the same thing. So, Q2, we released this training program for our partners, but what happened after that was, and I think it was really obvious, was the end user community came back and and through Twitter, through email, through you know, blogs, whatever, whatever mechanism, to come back to me and started screaming, "Hey, you know what? We need training as well. You've created a training program for your partners, but what happens about end users? Where's the training program, the accreditation for end users?" So right now, my team's just finishing up an equivalent training program, which is going to be online, similar to our training program for our partners, but targeted specifically at systems administrators and operators. What we're going to do with this accreditation program is make it interactive, use software simulations and teach by example, rather than expecting people to sit there and watch a video of someone else, you know, showing you how to do something. You know, with that particular program, what we're going to do is for anyone that is willing to go through the whole accreditation program, which includes several different exams, there's going to be a nice shiny badge and a certificate at the end of it. Because I think a lot of people, a lot of techies that are out there, you know, do accreditations for two reasons. One, to gain knowledge, obviously, yeah, but the other one is to put this title on their email signature or on their resume or CV. So hopefully that's going to be a bit, you know, a big success for us. I know you personally, Rick, have been involved in something similar called Backup Academy, and we'll talk about that shortly. But for the future of education services, the other next thing that most people in the community, in the industry, are screaming at me about is what's going to happen for Veeam in terms of classroom training. I probably have this discussion about classroom training on a daily basis. What is Veeam going to offer that's going to be similar to the VCP program, where a techie, a consultant, it doesn't have to be a partner, it can be an end user, it can be a partner, it can even be a pre-sales guy, will go to a training partner location, sit there for a week, and learn about Veeam in a deep dive fashion, where you've got an instructor at the front of the course that can present our messaging technically, answer the questions, and then base it around some high-level accreditation or certification. Well, you know, until now, we've been unsure whether Veeam needs that kind of deep dive training. However, if you've watched Veeam evolve, watched the products evolve over the last few years, what's happened is you know, originally our products were very simplistic, very easy to use. That's still the case. However, now our products are so feature-rich, we may have to start educating our community through this kind of classroom training how to actually really deep dive and use our products.
Oh, I agree 100%. And that's the question we get on Twitter all the time is, hey, how do I get trained on this? I mean, we've got the forums, we've got user guides, we've got, you know, blogs, people blogging on their own, our own blog, your blog, my blog, the Veeam blog. There's a lot of stuff out there, but in terms of structured content, yeah, I think it's going to be a very successful program, and I'm going to be happy to help you promote it, Ricky, so that's definitely for sure. Well, hey, Eric Siebert is now available. Let's patch him in. So now joining us is Eric Siebert. How are you doing, Eric?
Hey, Rick. I'm doing great.
Hey, thanks for changing up on the agenda of the podcast. I know we're all busy, and it's always a little bit tough. Can you give a quick introduction of yourself, Eric, to everyone?
Sure. My name's Eric Siebert. I run the website vSphereLand.com. I recently joined HP as a solutions manager in their marketing department for storage, working with storage for virtualization. And I'm also a vExpert and a pretty well-known blogger.
Absolutely. And you've also written a few books. You'd be selling yourself short if you didn't mention that.
Yep, two of those, and maybe a third at some point.
Hey now, I like it. So just a quick note, if anyone is not familiar, you can attend the Veeam featured webinar, and we are issuing e-books, Kindle books, for a fixed number of people for every webinar, including books that are Eric's. So if you haven't checked out the Veeam featured webinars, definitely check them out. Okay, so let's jump into it, Eric. What's your takeaway from VMworld in Las Vegas? I didn't get to talk to you that much, but you know how it goes. It's busy. I'm curious of your take.
Mostly cloudy.
Oh, that's funny. Cloudy with a chance of desktops, baby. I love it.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't an impactful VMworld as in the past, where, in the past they've had some big announcements and launches and that, but, you know, they did a lot of that stuff beforehand. So, I found the keynotes were, Paul's was, really not that, it was just kind of sending the message again. It really wasn't a lot there that, we didn't know before. And then Stevens was, I thought they did that pretty well in the actual kind of demo they did on stage with the average guy working at his desk and then taking his desk with them to mobile devices and that and on the road was pretty cool in that. And really what impressed me about, kind of the keynotes and some of the things that were shown at VMworld were some of the new desktop technologies that are emerging in that from the MVP thing that they announced years ago. It's finally seen. We're actually finally seeing the fruits of their labors from that, and it's not really the hypervisor running on a phone, so you can run Android and iOS and Windows all on the phone. It's more about taking your desktop, like you would in a view situation, and just accessing your desktop from your phone, which I thought was pretty slick. So, overall there was, the typical, they showed off vSphere 5 and, a lot of the new features that, we're pretty familiar with now since they already announced them, but, they also had a few little surprises in there, with some of the technology that kind of peeked a little bit into the future of the stuff coming down the road, which I thought was pretty cool as well.
What did you think of Octopus, that particular one in Herod's keynote? That really piqued my interest.
That was the Dropbox one, right?
It's kind of an enterprise, virtualization Dropbox. Infrastructure, aware file delivery, sharing solution. Yeah.
I think that is probably one of the better features they announced, because I think enterprises really struggle with, sharing files with people. You can always dial in and map a drive to your infrastructure, but most people are unplugged these days, so it's not really an option. So having something like that is definitely, I thought, was pretty cool. And you get more control over your data that way, rather than, having employees go try to use their own methods, like, using Dropbox or something like that. So I thought that was cool. And I also really found that App Blaster was pretty slick in that. That really impressed me, that the technology that you're using there to kind of stream applications to mobile devices.
Yeah, and my takeaway is I've never been in the VDI space. I did a couple of try to make it work pilots really, really early on, and we didn't end up going VDI. But now I think that VDI is almost a commodity. What really matters is the apps and the data, and I think they're really on to something. I'm watching it very closely. I'm excited.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting to see how they're putting everything together now. They've made all these acquisitions and developed these technologies, and of course you always had the back end that's always been there, but they're bringing everything together, into more unified, for both from the server part and for the desktops as well and the mobile devices.
Yep. So, I was just talking to Ricky earlier about VMworld, and he's looking forward to Copenhagen. I'm looking forward to Copenhagen because hopefully for me I can actually take some time and get to attend more substantive sessions and stuff like that. It was just a blur for me going from like 7 a.m. to 1 a.m. every night talking about complicated things. So it's definitely a wild ride. But let's change up a little bit here real quick. I do want to kind of make a splash about something, and Ricky alluded to it earlier. We are going to be launching a new thing called Backup Academy. Backup Academy, we'll have some tweets and some blog posts about it, but basically I like to equate Backup Academy as product-neutral training for people that are new to virtualization and virtualization data protection. I was on the prowl at VMworld for people that are new to this whole thing, and I actually found a number of people, it was kind of weird, that were really new to virtualization, really new to data protection, and we have this new resource called Backup Academy that'll help with that. And I really can sum it up as product neutral content that will help people get started with virtualization and data protection. And Eric, you're one of our contributors. Product neutral, would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. I really enjoyed doing it. It was, like you said, mostly product neutral, and it gives you all the basic concepts and everything you need to know to do backups properly in a virtual environment. Backups in a physical environment don't really, all those skills and methods you learn in a physical environment don't really translate to virtual environment. So you really need to start all over again and kind of learn how to do backups properly in a virtual environment.
And you did have a couple of Veeam slides, but we took them out. So
that's how
product neutral we are. But I will highlight in particular on Eric's topics. He did a really good series of topics around the different APIs. Okay, so we hear us talking about change block tracking, vStorage APIs, all those different things in the families of APIs. So definitely sending a shout out to Eric's tracks where you can definitely get those APIs. You know, from an introductory level, you'll definitely get a good understanding of those. And Ricky was just talking about his other program that he's got made up, and Ricky, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is kind of a good way to kind of connect all the dots. You know, we've got our end users, we've got our partners, and we've got people just getting started with these technologies, really kind of informed, and we've got some content ready for them to be equipped to go about doing virtualization well. Would you agree?
I think so. I think what we've done is covered all bases, or we're trying to anyway. And, you know, personally myself, with Backup Academy, I had to stay out of it, Rick, because I was always going to give a biased opinion. So, and what we wanted to do with Backup Academy was definitely talk about what else is going out there in the world, you know. For me, my takeaway from Backup Academy, which I find is actually quite interesting, is we talked about classroom-based training, and this is something that I want to possibly think about doing next year. I'll be possibly using some of the information I learned from Backup Academy to develop our deep dive technical training courses for the future. So I know we had some, I'm sorry, I'm going to spill some of the beans now, Rick, but only just a few. Yeah?
No worries.
I know we, you know, for example, we had one of the speakers deep dive about VSS and how it really hangs together and works, yeah, which you don't find in our material today. But, you know, moving forward, when I develop this classroom-based training program, or, you know, if that's the strategy we go forward with, I think we'll be using some of that material there as well.
Well, definitely. And you bring up a good point. We did make it a pretty serious initiative to be product neutral. So, in fact, I did one session in Backup Academy, but that was the only Veeam-provided session in all of it, but, you know, and I was definitely holding the line about product neutrality. So, and also just throwing a shout out to the public, you know, if you go into the Backup Academy content, if you have any ideas of topics, let us know. You know, you can reply to me on Twitter at Rick Vanover or the general Veeam Twitter account or the Backup Academy Twitter account, which is BCKP Academy. And we'll definitely roll it into the fold. Likewise, if you think you would be a good contributor for some of this content, reach out to us in the same features, in the same ways as well. Well, sorry about the convoluted, you know, schedule here, but we're all busy and we got to squeeze this in while we can. So let's wrap it up. Eric, hey, thanks for taking a quick moment to be on the podcast.
Sure thing. Glad to be here.
Awesome. And I forget it. What's your Twitter account, Eric?
I'm just Eric Siebert altogether, no spaces.
That's right. That's right. I got your email address and your Twitter confused in my head. and Ricky, hey, thanks for being on the podcast.
No problem. Anytime, Rick. Nice to meet you, Rick. Eric as well.
Yeah, you too, Ricky.
All right, guys. Thanks. That's a wrap.